This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 363. All new consoles have issues.
Don't turn them into volumes.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
They're fucking base.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
This is not a episode where we do voices, Pandalicious.
I just wanted to try it out.
I know. You're dying to do that episode. I promise we'll do that episode.
This is not that episode. I just had to get it out. It was bothering me.
I know.
It's all done now, though, I promise.
It's like the herpes. It just bothers you.
Well, when you have a flare-up.
I wouldn't know. Never had it.
I wouldn't either.
She said just kind of elongating
just,
it
just
out.
Just kidding. Pandalicious does not have herpes.
Pandalicious does not.
I am herpes-free.
Have the herp.
Or the...
She make it clap.
Yes.
But not the clap.
I do not have any STIs.
Well, that's good, because... Boy, oh boy, that not be the way to start out this podcast?
Happy holidays.
But we did, so there it is. Wow, we're special. Actually, we have video game stuff to talk about today, not venereal diseases. So, super yay for you.
Yay!
Super yay for us.
Yay again!
So, let's talk about video game stuff.
Yay!
Yeah. So, first up, we're now at the point where both new consoles from Microsoft and Sony have been released.
So, next gens are gone because now they're current gen.
So, we are in the new generation. Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony all have their new consoles available for people to put their grubby little mitts on. And here at the Land of Esh headquarters... We have an Xbox One. And by we, I mean me. But by me, I mean we, because I believe that sharing is caring, and I'm
well,
not
a greedy motherfucker.
Well,
technically, we have two of the three. Because you have a Wii U, you have a Xbox One, there is no PS4 yet.
There is no PS4. You are correct. I have a Wii U. I have an Xbox One.
Wee-wee-wee-wee-wee.
Save me, man, me.
No, it's longer than that. It's like, save me, man meat.
Thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome. Adjust my glasses.
Fucking nerd. So anyway, as I was saying, got our hands on an Xbox One. And by we, I mean me. And
I touched it. Inappropriately.
You did not.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. You ain't been here. You ain't been here.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
I creep like a thief in the night.
I've been in front of that thing for the last 48 hours.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
What about that time you went to the bathroom?
Yeah, guess what?
You didn't take it with you.
You weren't here. So whatever.
Dag nabbit.
So, would have had an unboxing video, but my camera woman was away from house.
Because sometimes she does that.
Yeah. So, instead I took a bunch of photos. And so eventually...
And they look like a beautiful collage. I saw the collage. It was beautiful. You didn't need me.
Yeah, I was planning on doing a video for our YouTube channel that hasn't had a video on it in forever, but...
Like, over 2 years now.
But... That didn't happen. So anyway, took and put out my photo collage there on the Facebook. And, I almost have facial, like, face social. I don't know.
Face social! Social face!
That's... I'm going to invent that. It's going to be awesome.
Social face?
It's going to be like Snapchat, but things are only going to last for like 5 seconds. So it'll be like
that
total,
is not enough time.
It's total short attention span theater. It's enough time for you to be like, oh, look at that, and be gone.
Squirrel!
That's what it is. That's the new network. Squirrel!
I don't like.
Squirrel! Yes, you do.
No.
You want to, dude.
I think vines are a little too short with their 7 second rule.
Yeah, they're 6 seconds. Just goes to show you what you know.
No, because I've seen a lot of them at 7.
No, those aren't real vines. Vines are only 6.
Oh, well then.
So I'm just saying.
I'm so glad I don't make vines then.
Yeah. So that's what's up.
I couldn't compact my awesomeness into 6 seconds.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
You have 5 seconds left over.
Oh, you are so funny.
You want some Bassatrice for that burn?
I want some topical cream. I want some ice cream. It was too hot.
Oh.
Anyway, so going back to the next gen, current gen, so whatever, open up my
box. Let me first talk about the box, okay? Because
does their box have 1080p's?
No, dude, we're not even getting into the what the thing does.
Oh,
yet.
It's got 780p.
Hold on, can I do my thing here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because before I even open this thing, it's fucking heavy. Okay,
she's so heavy.
No, seriously, it is. Fucking
it looks like a VCR
heavy.
From the 1980s.
It's not even about the VCR from the 80s, which is somebody else's line, and we don't do that shit here. But seriously, like, I heard the Amazon guy drop it off, and he had put it on another box that was on our porch. Thank God it was on another box, because if he had dropped it the way that he dropped it, and it wasn't on another box to cushion it, it would have been bad. Bad. But this thing is fucking heavy. Like, it's as heavy as my iMac, and I have a 27-inch iMac. And actually, come to think of it, the iMac might be a little bit lighter. It took me like a good heft. I literally did have to bend at the knees to pick up the box. It really was. And, you know, part of that is because the box was in there as well as the controller. The power brick is sizable. It's not that much smaller than the power brick for the Xbox 360. And the Kinect being in the box. So that does account for a big chunk of the weight that's in there. But don't be surprised, because I was really kind of taken aback by just how heavy it was. You're not going to carry it by the one single solitary handle that's on the box.
So you're going to give it a big hug because it loves you?
You need to give it a big hug because you need all your upper body focused on carrying that fucking thing around. The unboxing was really nice. I have to say that it's one of the few times where I feel like the internal compartmentalization... There's a word for you guys to do. Of the box. It was very much in line with some of the, I think, better packaging companies that do packaging well. I think that 12 South does packaging really well. I think that Apple does packaging really well. There wasn't a lot of excess space, you know, stuff that just was used as filler to move things around. Everything that was in there was there for a reason and a purpose. Which felt great.
You're doing great.
Opening up the actual Xbox from its black foamy wrap was kind of cool. There's actually a nice gloss finish on one side of the Xbox that I think is part of the reason why people are like, it looks like a VCR with the way that it has the areas that are matte and glossy. Frankly, I don't mind the look of it. You know, having a console that looks like a pizza box is not exactly what I want. So it's a sleek enough design. I mean, when you think of all the power that they've put into this thing, it makes sense for the amount of space that it takes up.
Okay.
Hooking it up, pretty straightforward and simple. Very clearly marked on the back for all the inputs and outputs are the HDMI that goes out to your TV versus the HDMI that can come in from your cable box so that you can do the live TV controlling. I don't have cable, so that's not an option for me. However, one of the things that you can do is connect anything that has an HDMI out to that. So I have actually cabled my Wii U to the HDMI in, so I can actually play my Wii U through my Xbox. Yeah, wrap your mind around that shit.
I'm trying.
Yep. More than likely, what I will end up doing is actually wiring my Xbox to it, my Xbox 360. Just because I only have 2 HDMI ports on my TV, and then I have 2 component ports, and I don't want to wire the Wii U to the component, just because I don't have that cable, and that would be an extra expense, and for the amount of time that I use it, I just don't want to do that.
Right.
And for me, I kept my Xbox 360 connected because, frankly, there are several games that I am still playing that I have not completed that I do want to complete and I'm not ready to walk completely away from. And since there is no backwards compatibility, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because there aren't really ever any times where no does not mean no, but this really does mean no, guys. I haven't finished GTA. I haven't even played any GTA Online. I haven't finished Burial at Sea yet, the DLC for BioShock. I'm really into Disney Infinity. It's my fun, happy place when I just need to, like, cleanse my palate and not be such a cynical son of a bitch. And, you know, it does not have, at least Infinity, does not have an Xbox One port yet. Don't know if that's going to happen. Have no idea if the Infinity palette, where you connect all of your figures and the play box, if that is even recognized by the Xbox One. I have no idea if my Rock Band stuff is
I know there's a whole lot of things that potentially we're all gonna lose out on.
Well,
with the Switch, the console.
Let's talk about that, because while there's only partial backwards compatibility with some things on the PlayStation 4, there is no backwards compatibility with the Xbox One. And I understood that, and part of this is my own not doing my homework. I completely accept that, guys, so don't jump on me on that. I should have done more homework. I just assume when they talked about not being able to play your discs and your games, but that your digital content, you know, things that were in the cloud, you'd be able to access again. I mistakenly presumed that meant that your game saves would move over. So it would just be a process of, if I wanted to continue a game, getting the Xbox One version of it, I should say, and then play it. That's not the case. Game saves do not move between the two consoles. That's a big problem for me. Because I was like 22% into Assassin's Creed 4. And frankly, was very excited about the whole, hey, if you buy this, you can get it day one for $9.99 on the new platform. So, yay, you don't have to buy it all brand new over. Okay. And I thought, fantastic. So I'll just move my game save over, and I'll pay my $10.
And
it's
going to be all good.
And it'll be all good. No, that's not what happened.
I don't think that's going to be the case. Do not pass go, you do not collect $200, and you also get a swift punch in your nuts.
In your sack. So as I jumped onto my Xbox One, and then immediately jumped off because it needed to do an update. And it was day one, so it was getting crunched like a mofo. The servers, frankly. I just kind of let it do the update, and I went about my business. I watched an episode of Glee, because, you know, you gotta do something.
Do, 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 do. Just kidding.
So, watched me some Glee, came back, the update was done. Got my day one achievement, which, other than saying, congratulations, you got this thing on day one, I didn't really see anything else that it gave me.
I mean, and it's not even like your controller has it branded day one, 2013.
Yeah, my controller is branded, and I do like that. It's a very nice visual, for sure.
Memento.
Exactly. But, jumped into kind of the dashboard experience, figuring my way out around stuff. Got my Xbox One calibrated. I will say that absolutely the Kinect for the Xbox One is definitely a much better camera than the previous Kinect. My living room, as far as what the Kinect sees, appears to be much brighter, and it has much better detail, frankly, than the previous Kinect, which I had connected in my living room. It was very difficult for my previous Kinect to find me in the living room, and kind of scarily so, and almost to a racist degree, it was able to identify me versus other people in my living room.
It could tell she was the black one.
Yeah, and so
now I want to know if, like, you and me were sitting in there, if we'd be able to identify you.
So here's the deal. As I was going through and wanting to sign into my account, which it did remember from the cloud, the Kinect asked me who I was by identifying the people that were in the living room picking me out. And at first I was like, oh, wow, look, because there were a couple people in my living room And one of those things was not like the other. One of them happened to be a chocolate chip.
That's her.
Yeah, spoiler alert. And my avatar is black, and as it was identifying me, it very quickly picked me out. Now, at first I thought, okay, well, it's because, you know, I'm short and black, so I'm easiest to recognize, and it knew my body shape from my previous calibration, so that's probably why it was able to pick me out. However, we were all sitting down on the couch, and the Xbox Kinect was on top of my TV, so it was really only seeing the shoulders and the tops of heads, and it was still able to pick me out between the other people. So either it's really, really smart, or my Kinect was profiling me.
It was probably
profiling. Either way, I'm kind of impressed both ways. So there's that. But the camera is much, much improved. So it'll be curious to see how well that tracks with new motion-based gaming.
You mean like that Fantasia game?
Especially the Fantasia game, for sure. Music Evolved, which, you know, I think is going to be an amazing game when it comes out next year. But obviously, I don't see the Dance Central franchise dying, nor do I see the dance game Just Dance from Yubi dying anytime too soon. That seems to be a very strong franchise for them. So I'm interested in seeing how they develop and how they take advantage of basically the precision camera that's with the Xbox One, because it's very good at tracking. You know, before I had difficulties getting it to track my hand correctly to appropriately turn on or off apps on my Xbox 360. I don't have that difficulty on my Xbox One. It's actually so pinpoint accurate, it's kind of scary. Very much night and day from previous Xbox Kinect to this one. The Xbox is also better at understanding my voice. You know, I speak rather quickly. For anybody who knows me in person, sometimes it's hard to pick up what I'm putting down because I put it down so fast. But the Xbox One is actually very good at picking up my natural
movement,
speech patterns, as well as my movement.
Your speech movement.
Okay.
The flapping of your gums.
So that's impressive as well. The interface to me, as far as the dashboard goes, it's nothing like ground-shaking or world-changing, because it, to me, it's basically just
a Windows. It looks like Windows 8.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a tile interface.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
It's Windows 8 on your TV.
I mean, it's fine because it's easy to navigate.
I mean, like she said, it's not innovative, you know, dashboarding. But that's okay, because if it's not broke, don't fuck with it.
Well, it's not an innovation in that it's, like, something new that we've never seen before. It's definitely an innovation as far as navigating an Xbox system.
Yes.
But it isn't anything that we haven't seen before if you've experienced Windows 8. So it's not anything that you'll write home about. It's very clear and easy to figure out where you are,
where
you
want to go. Dear Mom and Dad, I have nothing to report. Nothing about Windows 8. Love your kid at camp.
P.S. Send money.
P.S. Get me out of here.
But, you know, my overall experience with plugging into the system was, one, it's gorgeous. Okay, if you're an Xbox fan, you're going to be a fan of the Xbox One. It's a gorgeous system. It's very responsive. I will say that they have definitely beefed up their internal servers because I experienced absolutely no lag and no issues in the instant play stuff. So one of the things that they touted during their events as well as their conference at E3 was your ability to instantly start playing games that you were downloading from the store. And we all kind of, at least in my section of the audience, were like, yeah, I believe it when I see it. Well, guess what? I saw it, so I believed it.
Believe it!
So after some digging and fiddling around, I was able to get my Assassin's Creed rolling on the system. And within the first, I would say, 5 minutes of starting the download, I got the prompt that I could start playing the game.
Okay.
And so as you are playing the game, it continues to download in the background. It makes sure that it gives itself enough of a buffer that you shouldn't run into it.
So you don't have any buffer underrun?
So you don't have buffer underrun?
How about parameter RAM?
No, there's no parameter RAM for you to worry about having to manage on the box. But, because it manages itself. But it does set itself up so that the likelihood of you running into buffer underrun is limited. You get a very clear progress bar indicator across the tile that your game is on to let you know how far along it is in the download process, or if it's had to stop for whatever reason, you get the identifier on top of the tile so you'll know how those things are going. Now, it's a big beefy download because it was like 25 gigs and you only have 500 gigs of internal storage, and storage is not user upgradable in an Xbox. So I imagine that you'll probably, when you get to a point where you need more storage, you'll probably end up looking at external add-ons because there are USB ports on the back of the Xbox One. So okay. I imagine
how many probably, do they give you?
There are two on the back.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got plenty of expansion area there, but, I immediately started playing Assassin's Creed 4, and as soon as I jumped into the load screen of, hey, here's Uplay, and here's the stuff, I expected to see Ninja Sister 28% of the way, and instead what I saw is start new game, and I was like, start new what?
Start new what now? What?
So I went back to my original Xbox to check and make sure that I had successfully put my game saves into the cloud storage.
And you did, right?
And I did.
Okay.
For all of my Assassin's games, not just my
Black Flag.
And it must have recognized some of those things.
But not all of the things?
Because when I jumped in, it's like, hey, for your past things that you've done in this game, you'll get this. And for your past things that you've done in this game, you'll get that. And I wasn't even signed into Uplay yet because Uplay had not successfully downloaded on the box. So it read some things from my saves.
It's like, we think that there's stuff happening, but so not, we're letting you know that if they're there, this is what you're going to get.
But not the gameplays themselves. And while I normally wouldn't bitch or complain or have like a moment because a save game where I was 25% of the way into the game would be a big deal. But in Black Flag, because there are so many fucking things to do.
I know, when you showed me that map, I cried on the inside.
It's a huge deal. Okay, I have to recapture those fucking forts.
You have to get that whale again.
I gotta get whales again.
Shit. Man.
I gotta go ocelot hunting so I can carry more guns.
Ocelots.
Ugh. And I hate naval battles because I suck at them so bad.
And that's why we never went on boats.
So I gotta make all that money so I can upgrade my boat fucking again.
And I have to get your crew to love you again.
Okay, and then not only that, but for any of the, like, time savers, so the, hey, here's the map that shows you everything on the map, and here's all the activities that are on the map, and all that kind of stuff, yep, that doesn't carry over. So if you want that for the new game, you gotta buy it again.
Ugh.
I was like, really? Really? Like, completely from scratch, guys?
Like, why? So much scratch? What?
Why?
No.
So, some of that I'm holding off on. And I started playing the game again, and I got like 15 minutes in, and I was so disgusted with the fact of, I've gotta do all of this over again. All of it. Shit.
I'm kind of glad that I am so broke that I didn't have one, because I'd be so sad.
So, like, part of me is like, well, yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
You could just go back and play your Xbox 360 version.
Where it's all waiting for you.
But part of my hesitance to do that was I was experiencing some disk load issues.
Oh, really now?
Yeah. It was freezing. Every time I started the game, because I was starting it at this one FMV point, and there's no way for me to skip past the FMV, because as far as it's concerned, I haven't completed it once yet. So
right, so it's like, you can't go there because you haven't done it.
Yes, I have. And you're frozen. So, part of the reason why I was looking forward to playing it and picking it where I left off,
it was like, ha ha ha, we broke your shit!
Was that I was going to get around that.
Well, I mean, you did avoid... Well, oh, never mind. That was with the PS4. I was going to say, you did avoid the blue blinking light, but that's the PS4, not the Xbox.
Yeah, because there are no blinking lights in the front of your Xbox.
Right.
Yay! But I mean,
since we're talking about
that,
there's
just the one white light of the Xbox icon.
So, I mean, with all these hang-ups and all these hiccups and all these obstacles...
I don't want to make it sound like there's a lot of obstacles.
No, but there's definitely
some
that
there's no backwards compatibility.
Okay.
With your game or game saves.
Which kind of sucks.
Any content that you've purchased in the music store or video store or apps that you've gotten, that digital content does follow you from console to console. Your gamer score, your avatar, and the way that your avatar looks like now, as well as any avatar awards or items that you've purchased from the avatar store, follow you across.
Okay.
Okay? So I don't want to make it sound like, oh yeah, none of your shit comes with you. You're starting as a brand new beeb. You're not.
You're wee bairn.
Okay? It's just that your games and your game saves no come with you.
So how, on a scale to like 1 to 10, 1 yep. being doesn't bother me, to 10 being like I want to flip a table and punch Zeus in the face.
I would put it like this, where 1 is like, fuck this shit, I'm getting a PS4 and you return it. And 10 is...
Wait, but that's an extreme.
That's what I'm saying. And 10 is like, nah, I'm good, dog. Let me put another one on my table and I'll HDMI in it so I can Xbox One in my Xbox One while I'm Xbox One-ing.
Well, okay.
So 10 would be happy and 1 would be pissed off.
All right, so where are you?
I'm going to say that I'm a solid 7.
Okay, so you're annoyed, but it's not a deal breaker, but they better get their shit together.
I'm not annoyed. I'm just not like fanboy in love. You know what I mean?
You're not in love.
I mean, like, I'm in strong like right now with the Xbox One.
Well, because like can lead to love.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I'm in strong like right now. Like, I like the Xbox One, but I'm not like in the Xbox One.
I don't really, really like it, but I like it.
I mean, I like it. I just don't like it. And by that, I mean, not to be too girly over here, but... But I do like a lot of things. The interface is fast. Navigating the store, frankly, makes sense now to me than it previously did. That quickness is just, it's not to be overlooked. It's nice to have instant on. It's great for when I walk into my living room and say Xbox on for it to fucking work and turn on.
I know, it totally did turn. I'm like, wait, did it just listen to you?
Okay.
Oh my God, it's Skynet.
It's not Skynet. It might be Skynet.
We are so fucking close to Skynet.
It's kind of totally Skynet.
All of a sudden, the Xbox Ones and the PS4s are all going to start talking and, in Siri, and frankly, we're fucked.
And the reason why I say I like it is that the graphics do look amazing. So outside of Assassin's Creed 4, which definitely benefits from having some better ability on the graphics side, you know, looking at detail, for instance, in coats and clothing that people wear, there's details that you're able to see. Even 720p, which my Xbox I was running 1080i. But even comparing those two, there are definitely some better lighting and detail things that are happening on the Xbox One than were apparent in same games on the Xbox 360. And the only thing that I can do an apples-to-apples comparison with is Black Flag. But there are definitely things that I pick up, details that I pick up much more on the Xbox One version than the 360 version. You know, that instant on and instant play, that's not to be taken lightly. That's a huge accomplishment that you can, you know, buy a game and right now start playing it as opposed to having to wait for the whole damn thing to download before you can play it. That's really cool. There's a lot to be said for that. There are a couple of things that are just a little bit difficult for me, and it's frankly because I haven't done my homework yet to read up on how to do it yet. But as far as being a good console to game on, the controller feels very comfortable in my hand, which is something that I fought with.
Because she's got baby hands, y'all.
That I fought with previous Xbox systems. But with the new system, I'm able to game for a long period of time. I think I played Rise, Son of Rome in my first sit-down for like 5.5 hours.
Wow.
No hand cramping, no issues whatsoever.
No Cheez-It breaks?
No Cheez-It breaks. I did have a chip and dip break.
Chips and dip.
Because French onion dip, motherfucker.
Right.
But, you know, no hand cramping, which is a big thing for me. Because, you know, for most...
Because she gets gamer claw, like,
I
what?
Do get gamer claw. Like, serious. But I gotta say, with the new controller, didn't happen. Which was really nice. No fatigue or anything like that. No difficulty with my thumbs. Very cool. I do like the grips on the Xbox One controller. You know, it's got a nice tactile feel in the corner, so you don't slip as much. And you feel like you have more control. And that's a huge, huge thing when it comes to playing Killer Instinct. And
have you taken a stab at that yet?
Oh, yeah. No, that was the second download that I did and went ahead and bought the pack to have the characters because, I'm not fucking waiting.
But now you brought up Rise of Rome. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Rise of Rome. Hold on, let me get a sip of my delicious drink. Thank you, Hypnotic. Go ahead.
So I came and did some peepage of some
and
of your...
And I came and did some peepage. I was like, come see my Xbox.
And I was like, okay. And she's like, watch me turn it on. I said, okay. She said, I'm going to play a game. I said, okay. And I just
sat. And then Brianna proceeded to be on Facebook.
I was watching...
Your Facebook.
No, both. Both. I was watching Facebook and your TV. And right off the bat, the minute she... I heard that. The minute that she turned on the game, I was like, whoa. Like, the graphics, she's absolutely right, are absolutely stunning.
Rise, Son of Rome is probably the most gorgeous game that I have seen on an Xbox One. Forza, people, don't get pissed at me. I haven't seen Forza yet.
People have been dropping on Facebook, but yes, she has not played it.
But as far as, like, in my living room on my TV, which is my judge of things being beautiful, because I have a very nice TV.
She does. That I secretly hope I get.
You're not getting it.
But I want it.
You're not getting it.
It's so nice.
I know.
Anyway, I was really kind of taken aback because, you know, I live in the realm of, you know, a game looking a certain way during gameplay, and then you get a beautiful cutscene, FMV, that then takes a little bit of a load time before you actually get into your actual gameplay again. It is virtually seamless going from FMV into gameplay.
Virtually, it's fucking seamless.
It's pretty.
It's got no seams.
It's pretty seamless. There was one instance that you were like, FMV, and I'm like, I know. And then the minute that it panned over, I could tell we were in gameplay, and you're like, and now we're in gameplay.
Yeah, because the camera angle changed.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's absolutely seamless.
But as far as, like, a stutter, where you notice that you went from movie to thing.
There was no frame rate halt to reload. She's absolutely right.
It don't got Tourette's.
It seems like, from my experience watching Ninja play Rise, Son of Rome, the QTE notions are also very minimalist and are seamlessly built into the gameplay.
Yeah, so let's talk about the QTEs really quickly, because it is a different system than we're normally
used to. The button showing up pretty much on top of the gameplay, which is usually like an AMV action that you are controlling through the button mash of whatever, and it seems like through the combat system, when you are delivering moves, your target will glow the color that you have to appropriately hit to deliver the combo effectively, which means you can't just sit there and assume that they're going to show you the X button because they're not going to hold your hand no more.
No, they're just going to give you a brief slowdown of motion and flash a color on the
and hopefully you hit it, because if you don't, you're going to get bashed with a shield or you're going to get a pika to the face.
Yeah, nobody wants a pika to the face.
No pikas, please, to
no
the face.
No, pike to the face, no happy.
So, but I mean, it's so, so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I mean, and
like,
you
it's
can,
striking. It is
you,
very
you
stunning.
You can see all the bruises from the damage that you take, so you're never beautifully pristine anymore or beautifully blood-covered anymore. There is a, you know, a response to your actions now.
It is cumulative damage.
So it's like, it's wonderful. Like, I absolutely love that. Like, it's amazing to me.
And what's surprising to me is that a lot of people were giving Rise a lot of shit.
So what shit were they giving it?
Well, there are a lot of people saying that it was short. There are a lot of people...
How many hours are they saying
it runs?
All
right, so let me be honest with you, okay?
Let's be honest.
Okay. If you put Rise on easy...
Okay.
And you play action platformers regularly.
So you're kind of conditionally groomed.
Okay. You can run through Rise in under 10 hours.
All right.
Okay. Again, if you put it on easy.
All right. All right.
And I'm only talking about solo campaign. I'm not talking about multiplayer.
All right.
Because Rise has multiplayer. And a lot of people haven't jumped into the multiplayer to even give that a shot yet.
All right.
So if you're grading it just on the solo campaign alone, yeah, it could come up pretty short. Okay, the gameplay, it's not earth-shattering. It's your typical action platformer. So, gameplay can get repetitive. It's about how you put combos together and string them together. If you go at it as a button masher, That's the way it's going to come out and the way it's going to play. Okay, and so it can get repetitive, and you may not like that, because you go into every combo going X, X, Y, X, X. Yeah, it's going to look the same. Doesn't matter how much you beef up your stats. There are some people that didn't go in and beef up any of their skill trees and just play the game that way. Well, if you don't...
I mean, I feel like that could be a very challenging thing.
Well, because I don't feel like, again, because the menu system in Rome is very simplistic, I think a lot of people probably miss the fact that not only can you beef up things like your health and your focus ability, which focus gives you the ability to slow down time, and then you act in like a hyperaction state where you can attack and kill multiple enemies at a time.
Anemones.
So it helps you keep hordes of people off you or back them up. But not only can you beef up those abilities, but you can also beef up your executions so that you can pull off different executions. And executions are the quick time events that you're talking about, Panda, where time slows and
you could end up stabbing somebody in the back of the neck, like through the front.
Yes, well,
you could stab them in their gut.
If you don't beef up the executions, you can't do the other things like, you know, take off their arms and legs.
Oh my God, you could totally dismember?
Yeah.
Dismember.
But you have to spend valor or gold coins and coins you earn during multiplayer to buy those abilities. So it starts with you focused on the regular skill tree, but if you don't realize that you can arrow over to the left to beef up the executions.
If you haven't figured out that you've got a skill tree, then there's already something wrong.
Yeah, there's a problem. And, you know, me, I was playing along the game, and, you know, as I've said before, I usually always pick easy when I'm first running through a game.
Right, so you can get through the story.
Exactly, so I can talk about it intelligently on this podcast. Or
wait, we're intelligent here?
Shut up. Yeah, we are. Drink. Oh, wait, you don't have a drink. I'm sorry.
No, my ginger ale's gone. Bye, Canada Dry.
I was going to say, drink your drink, but you don't have one. But I didn't realize until I was in the third section of the game that I was building up valor that I could spend. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at a screen. I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
What's that blinky thing?
What's that 200,000 something or other up in the corner? Oh, hey, I could buy stuff. Oh, that might make this mission a little bit easier. And so, like, I bought a slew of things and took my guy up to, like, fourth level everything. And so when I went to the third thing, I was like, oh, yeah, that's easier.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're the kind of player who likes to challenge themselves. Because
yeah,
I've been the kind to, after I've beat the game on every difficulty, I've gone back and played a game and played it vanilla as possible. You know,
yeah,
no upgrades.
Yeah, so did you play, like, 1999 version of Bioshock? But you didn't.
Actually, I did.
For how long?
And I got out of Columbia.
Out of Columbia.
Like, with her. With Elizabeth.
So you beat the game?
Like, well, no. I mean, I got out of... I was down... Where was I?
In Rapture?
I was at the Fink place. That's where I died, at the Fink place. The machine guy, where you...
Oh, yep.
And you see the black lady from the...
Yep.
The Vulpix.
Mm-hmm, yep.
That's what I call it. The Vox Populi,
yep.
I think it's called.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Vox Populus.
Yes.
I guess. I'm guessing.
Yes, Vox Populi.
I saw her die, and then I got raped. I'm just kidding. I didn't get raped. I died. And that was it. But it took me forever.
Yeah, I can't play it on 1999 mode.
It's super slow. Like, every time an encounter came up, I would pause and go, okay, what are you doing?
Let me have a small strategy meeting with myself.
Yep. I felt like a Proc from The Awesomes, and I took 10 seconds and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I know there's two guys on my left and there's one guy on my right. I'm going to take the guy on the right, and I'm going to possess one of the dudes at the left to take out the other dude. And then if that dude doesn't happen, when that other guy comes to, I'm going to snap his face with my thingy. And it would work, or it didn't, and I started over. But it took me a very long time to get to the Fink place, and that was just a fuck shit show.
It was a fuck shit show. On top of itself, player.
But I gave myself credit for getting that far.
I give you credit for that far, because I did not.
So, I mean, there are some people who overlike the challenge themselves, and we're definitely not telling you not to do that. But don't go into your first playthrough and play it that way. Because one, you're kind of shortchanging yourself.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that if you can blow through the game, just like anything, if you critical path it, you're going to blow through it pretty quickly. There are collectible levels, and there are multiple collectibles that you can search environments for. While the story is pretty linear, you do have the ability to search multiple areas within the levels that you're playing at all times. So you're not focused on a specific path. It's very rare that it will guide you on the specific path that you need to go unless you're spending too much time and the game assumes that you've just kind of gotten lost on your way for where you need to go, that it will give you some clues, and usually they're audio clues from like members of your legion going, hey, we need to go and save blah 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 blah. And you're like, oh yeah, that's right, and we should go down this path to save these people. And you're like, oh yeah, you're totally right, dude. But I do want to stress that I think a lot of people are giving the game a lot of guff and shit-talking just because they can. While it is short and at times the gameplay can be repetitive, you show me one action platforming game that's not true of. I love Uncharted. We can't say enough great things about Uncharted.
We can't wait for
If you've played all three Uncharted games, the gameplay is repetitive. Climb up shit. Nathan Drake, shoot. Nathan Drake, win. Yay!
Well, you also forgot Nathan Drake finds artifact.
Yes, I'm sorry. Nathan Drake finds artifact. You see artifact nice and big. Nathan continues on quest. Yay!
Nathan wins.
Yay!
A winner is you.
Yay!
Now go play Tetris.
Oh, yay! Okay, like, that's just the way it goes. So I think it's a lot of pot kettle.
You know, like, I can't stand when people talk about how things are repetitive, because, you know, we wake up every day. That's repetitive. We get in our cars every day.
Wait, wake up every day if you're lucky.
So the majority of us wake up every day. I'm sorry for those of you who don't.
We feel bad.
But I'm talking to the majority that do. Yeah. We wake up every day. That's repetitive. We get clothes on. Unless you're in, like, a naked commune.
Right.
But you're obviously not listening to our
show.
But
guess what? If you're in a naked commune,
you got no problems.
But regardless, there's repetitiveness in every aspect of life. So if you're going to be bitchy about repetition, you're going to be bitchy for the rest of your life.
Well, and I just want to say that it's not, like, oppressive repetition. It's just, yeah, the combos can get very old if you're not upgrading things to allow you to add variety
to your
combos.
Now, mind you, if you're one of those dev houses who's tried to, you know, change things up, like how combos work, what's the first thing that happens in reviews? They get bashed for not keeping to a signature type.
Yeah, but the nice thing about this game is that Rise is a new IP, and frankly, I think that it's a great game. It tells a very good story.
Which we haven't even talked about on the show today.
Yeah, the story is you are Marius, who is...
You're Leonidas.
You're not Leonidas. Will you stop it with that shit?
You're Leon Titus.
You're not Leon Titus. Stop it, Panda.
That's your daddy.
Stop it.
I just spoiled something, I guess.
You're Marius, and you are a true son of Rome. You love Rome and all the things that it's supposed to stand for. Your family is made up of a long line of people who have been devoted to the empire and to the emperor.
You all have British accents in Rome.
Yeah, everybody is British for some reason. But whatever. I think it's because of all the Latin. I don't know. So, anyway,
here goes soon, bitch.
Marius is like, hey, just like my dad before me, because he served in the Legion,
I'm gonna be in the Legion
too. So you go off and you're like, hey, yeah, cool. And you come back and you're like, Dad, what's up? Yeah, I'm in the Legion. Check out my uniform. It's all cool and shit. I got armor and whatever. By the way, my legs are jacked. And your dad's like, cool, cool. Good to see you. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And so Marius is telling the story to Emperor Nero because when you start the game, you basically end up in a locked room with Nero. And you're like,
it's kind of dark and ominous, and he's kind of sitting there fat and pudgy-ish.
And freaking the fuck out. And so Marius relates this tale of how he got to that moment with Nero. And the story is fantastic. I don't want to ruin it, but it does run through some of the Romans versus Goth war, which, you know, didn't actually really happen the way that it's laid out in
Wait a
the
minute.
Game.
Wait, but they it's called Goths?
Yeah, the Britons.
Oh, I thought you meant Goths, like Gothic, yeah. Like Gothic people.
No, not like emo goths.
That's what I thought. I'm like, no, that would be a really easy war for the Romans to win.
The goths.
And they got, my life is meaningless. Well, I will end it for you.
Maybe that'll happen.
Sweet death.
You know, Visigoths. You know, the barbarians.
Then say barbarians.
Yes. Well, they were called Goths.
They're barbarians. Barbarians.
Remember?
Tell you.
The Visigoths. Remember?
Oh, then say Visigoths then.
Yeah, the Goths.
I know that history.
Okay.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I read about it in middle school sometimes, okay. I think.
So you run through Nero and his two sons going apeshit and crazy, and instead of forging a lasting peace with the British Goths, basically starting a nasty, nasty war.
Because everyone's out there goddamn mad.
Because the two sons and Nero are basically selfish sons of bitches. And cause all this war and death. So you spend the entire game
trying to fix it?
Fighting.
To fix it?
The Visigoths.
And to fix it?
No, Marius's whole mission is to keep Rome glorious and keep her from falling.
You know, sometimes we trip.
That's why he's a son of Rome.
Got it.
Again, not giving it up, but that's what his whole mission is about. It's not about individual glory for himself or for his father, although his entire family is slaughtered.
He doesn't have to watch Dynasty to have an attitude.
Wow. Really? Okay, Prince. Wow. But the game is very good. I finished it in just over 10 and a half hours. But I would definitely play it again. It's gorgeous. It's broken up into, I want to say it's either, I think it's just eight. It's either seven or eight chapters. I think eight. That you play through, that you basically tell this tale of Rome and what has happened under Nero. Very good. The characters are voiced very well. The animations are done very well. The amount of gorgeousity that the game has.
Gorgeousity?
Yes, is off the charts.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I just made it up. Deal with it. The visuals are really, for me, some of the most stunning visuals that I've seen in a game. Like Panda alluded to earlier, for me, it was, I think I had more fun figuring out when the FMV was going to end and I was going to have control once again over Marius and when it wasn't. There are various different mechanics that you have to control. There are times when you will take over your legion and you will have RTS type gameplay where you will have to figure out strategy in real time on how to defend different areas with the
You're going to have to learn how to move in a phalanx, y'all.
You do have phalanx control, and that's a really cool mechanic because it was actual phalanx control. Like, if you mess things up, you would get people killed.
Yep.
And they would fall off, and so you'd have a weakened phalanx, and that was really cool, as opposed to, no, you can just go ahead and totally take all these arrows to the face. You don't even have to do the phalanx thing. No, you do. You actually have to do it, or you lose too many men, and you won't be able to complete that mission, and you'll have to start over again.
Because, you know, people regenerate like that.
Yeah, you do. You regenerate like that. One thing I do appreciate, at least in the easier levels, is that if you did die and you had to regenerate to start the level over again, it gave you a full health bar over again.
Instead of like hitting a checkpoint and being like in the red and then starting at the checkpoint
and
at
being
red.
In the red, yeah,
and so, almost being a Marius sandwich.
Yeah, so I did like that. There are plenty of different types of enemies that you have to fight, some that are resistant to your normal attacks, so you have to use heavy attacks. So figuring out how to chain your attacks well enough to knock them off balance to up your combos, the better. The more hits in your combo, very much like a fighting game, the more XP that you earn that you can then, and in this case, XP is called Valor in the game, and the more Valor
you'll bring
you have,
Valor to us all.
Exactly. The more Valor you have, the more that you can upgrade both yourself as well as your armies that you control.
Because so there's
a lot of
valuable
complexity into the game if you pay attention to that. If you just jump in and want to treat it like a brawler, which you could, then you'll blow through it and you won't enjoy, I think, any of the nuance
you
of the
game.
You
won't appreciate any of the spanks.
But I would say that while Rise Summoner Rome doesn't redefine the genre, it's a damn good addition to the genre. So for people hating on it, don't hate on it. Short is not a bad thing. Repetitive isn't a bad thing when it just fucking works. Repetitive is bad when it doesn't work and you still get stuck in doing it. And that's how Ninja sees it. So,
oh my God, did you just totally just do a Sylvester?
I did. I watched Glee. Shut up. No, I really enjoyed the game, and I think that people that are trashing it just aren't seeing
they
it
don't
for...
Gotta.
They're just not seeing the good stuff that it accomplishes. And frankly, I think that, you know, if you hold this game up against its real, true counterparts, which in this case would be a God of War, don't sit here and tell me that it's not repetitive. And I fucking love God of War.
Because you lying.
Okay, so don't give me that, oh, it's repetitive and you can crunch it in 10 hours. You can crunch God of War, the last game, Ascension, the single-player campaign, in under 10 hours. So, stop. It's a gorgeous game.
So the moral
game. It's
of
a good
the story...
For a new IP, it, frankly, is fantastic. The story is great. It will capture you. There is some emotion that is in it, and it's believable. The visuals are absolutely stunning. It's a good game. It's not a great game, but it's a good game. Stop shitting on it.
So the moral that we wanted to convey to you guys today... Because
stop shitting on things.
Stop shitting on things that...
New My Little Pony series started. Don't hate.
Friendship is magic.
Friendship is fucking magic.
Stop shitting on things that don't deserve
don't
to be shit on.
Don't shit on ponies.
Don't... Yeah, definitely don't shit on ponies because they'll shit on you.
They will. It's not good.
And also, ideally, as we know, when new consoles come out...
Oh, here we go.
There are always going to be launch issues.
Okay, so, yep, now it's time for rants. Now it's time for rants. All right? Because, Panda, you've seen it. You've seen it. People all over the place. This didn't work. That didn't work. And I logged into this thing, and it didn't work. Your shit's busted. How come it makes this noise? All right, look. There are some legitimate issues out there. Just like people getting blue lights of death on their PS4s.
Just like back in GTA O. You know, Grand Theft Auto Online, where my characters were being deleted. That was in the first week. Yes, I raged, but then I sat back and said, you know what? It's also just the first week. And I gotta give them time to fix their boo-boos.
People.
So just like then, you all need to take a fucking couple steps back, take some deep breaths, focus your zen.
Did you say take some deep breaths?
Take some deep breaths.
I mean, boobs do make things better.
And I mean,
but...
if you don't have those, then you can just breathe in deep. Like four or five of those. Get yourself calm and relaxed. And realize that, like all things that are new, we don't know what the problems are until they're out there. And once they're out there, they can be fixed. So stop being assholes.
Right. Like... Don't get me wrong. You totally have the right to be frustrated with your new $500 or $600
and
purchase.
And be frustrated.
Not working right out the bat.
Be frustrated. Do your rage dance. Talk to your best friend about it. But you don't, and I mean, you can bring it up and, you know, you can be professional about, you know, talking to, you know, the company in which, you know, made the product or whatever. But you don't need to, I don't know, take a rifle to it. Because, you know, it's not going to work after you shoot it.
And you've also voided your warranty.
Yeah. So, I mean, take the time that you need to get
don't
all that anger
dick.
Out.
Just wheat
feed,
and drool.
Feed your anger sharks till they're not angry anymore. And just, you know, get some fucking patience.
Seriously, don't be a dick. Okay?
Go read a fucking book.
There's a lot of things that are not working for the new systems.
Go do the hustle.
The PlayStation 4 is just a week old. Well, by the time you guys hear this, a week and a couple of days.
Don't balance your checkbook after you know there's no money in it, because it's going to make you angry.
The Xbox One will be a few days old.
It will figure itself out, it will sort out its priorities and its orientation, and everyone will be happy.
There are a lot of things that will continue to need work and need updates. That's why they're both connected to the internet, so that you can get those updates, so that things that are discovered can be found.
Kumbaya, motherfucker.
You can't test for everything when you're developing a box. You can only test for things that you know are known issues or that you've experienced before that you think may be issues and correct for that or code for that. Okay? The Xbox One is not without its launch day issues, just like the PlayStation 4. There are some people that
just
are having...
Just like the Wii U?
Panda, can I finish?
Yeah.
there are some people that are having Blu-ray disc problems. And there are notably, I think, Kotaku, the last time I checked in with their article that they were tracking, they had like over 150 people who had written them saying, yeah, I've got this issue as well, where the drive is not reading discs very well. It's getting very loud. And when things are put into it, so it makes it, you know, almost unusable. And the vibration's very strong. So the hardware itself is not without its issues. You know, these things are mass produced. There are all kinds of things that can happen on the line that just make a bad device sometimes. It's just like getting a brand new computer and you go and you power it up and then there's something wrong that was on the logic board that you just have to get it replaced because it was just a bad machine.
That happened
to me. Or
part
of a bad batch. It happens.
Happened in my MacBook Air and they just replaced it.
Okay, it sucks when it happens,
mm-hmm.
But it happens. And both companies will do right by you and will replace the box as soon as they possibly can and make sure that you get the right one so that you get your money's worth. So,
stop threatening to kill somebody's family and pee in their eye sockets.
Don't blow shit up with dynamite to make a point.
I mean, if you want to be a silent protester, you can just make cupcakes with appropriate colors. That was a fun way of doing it.
You know
it.
What? Draw a photo of somebody eating a dink and put it on your Instagram if that makes you feel better. But it really degrades us all.
It makes us all look horrible
when gamers do that. So if you could do us a super solid.
Like the biggest solid that you can possibly humanly create.
Don't act like a dick.
Don't be a douche.
That'd be great.
I would really appreciate it.
So appreciate it.
Like I'm giving you a hug through the internet right now.
Right now.
Because we're bonding.
Right now. In this moment. This is the moment. So that's really all that I've got on our end.
I do have a retraction that I have to...
What? You're admitting you were wrong?
Yes, I have to make a retraction from last... was it last week or the week before?
I don't know what you're retracting, so I
can
tell you.
The week that I talked about the manga for Umineko?
That was last week.
So I'm making a retraction from last week because I was stating how they decided to jump format from the light
novel. First one to the second?
Yes. So apparently each episode, because there's 5 episodes total, will have 2 books of that big size that I was talking about last week. So Panda wasn't very smart. So when she saw a giant 1 and a giant 2, she thought that was the same episodes, but they weren't. So she had bought the second book from the first episode and the second book from the second episode, which is why she made no sense.
Oh. So Panda made a dumb purchase and assumption.
So then she went back to
Panda didn't do her homework.
Nope, she just saw something she liked and she bought it. So then she went back to Barnes & Noble's and corrected her mistake. And from her read, it is exactly linear to the light novel game experience that I had. Not the anime, though. The anime is running differently. But I wanted to retract my previous statement.
Well, that's big of you. That's big of you.
I'm a big person.
You know what?
Sometimes you're growing. I have big hearts.
You have big hearts? Why do you have 2 hearts?
Because I'm a
Time Lord. Are you a cow?
I'm a Time Lord.
You're a Time Lord. Really?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right. Sure. Because if you were a Time Lord, you wouldn't go back in time and fucking fix the lottery for yourself.
No, because you can't interfere with your own timeline like that.
But you could interfere with your family's timeline.
I am involved in the timeline, so I cannot involve myself in my timeline. So I can't do that.
You could.
No, I couldn't.
You choose not to.
No.
Because you're greedy.
You can't. Do it.
You can.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You can.
So just wanted to make that retraction. So there it is for everybody. Sorry for my mistake.
Yep. Well, like Panda said, we're off next week because it's...
Of the holidays! Happy Tryptophan Day!
For those that celebrate that day and for our Jewish friends.
You guys have started you're going to start your High Holy Days.
Well, you're going to start the Hanukkah.
Hanukkah!
Because this is the first time in, like, a millennia or whatever.
That they've both been on the same day.
Yes. So, a couple of my friends at work are like, yes, we are going to celebrate Thanksgivica. And I'm like, that is awesome.
Thanksgivica.
So, for those that celebrate.
So, and even if you don't forget, you can always have a Friendsgiving.
This is true.
So you can get all your friends together and have a Thanksgiving with people who super, super,
you can be
super
thankful for the friends that you have. regardless of whether or not.
And you're... the new friends you're going to make. Because you'll make friends.
With, like, the pilgrims slaughtering the Indians or not.
Or giving them blankets of smallpox on them.
And if you're not for that, then, you know, be for your friends. It's cool. Whatever. So we're not going to have a question of the week.
Because we're going to hold off and we're going to use the same one from last week. So once again, I'm going to reiterate it. I want to know what your favorite DLC is. If you're responding on Facebook, I want you to tell me, obviously, the game. And I want you to tell me why.
If you're responding on Twitter, just tell us the game. And if you have enough characters, give us a brief little why.
Yep.
All right. So tweet at us at ESH News. Use the hashtag #EshQuestions so we can find it. And we'll loop everybody together in on our next podcast.
We hope you enjoy all your meals and your bonding times and the libations that you may drink at the same time.
Sure, what she said. So you can catch our podcast on our website, www.electricsister.com. We are part of the VOG Network, and you can participate with us, like answering our S question of the week over on VOG when we post the podcast there. But you can also catch some other amazing shows over at VOG, like Orange Lounge Radio. My favorite Bobby Black Wolf show, because I love me some Black Wolf.
And then there's obviously awesome, our awesome neighbors who come on after us on Tuesdays, Anime Jam Session.
And there's just a lot of great, entertaining shows over there. So Critical make sure Myth. That you check them out.
Critical Myth.
Okay. You can also interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Ask us questions. Answer our questions.
Let us know
if there's anything that you'd like us to cover on a show. If you want our opinion about an anime series or manga or whatever. Because most than likely, we've already saw it or read it. But if we haven't,
we're always own it.
We're always looking for new opportunities to expand both libraries. So make sure that you hit us up, again, facebook.com/Land of Esh, and let us know. You should also listen to other shows that are part of the Land of Esh network, which is growing every day, while our brand new episodes come out particularly usually on Monday. On Tuesday, you can follow it up with a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, and get a real interesting look into independent music artists, as well as manga, anime, TV, entertainment,
cross stitch,
general nerdery, and if you want to learn how to say something in Japanese, hit them up for Sawa segment and learn new phrases in Japanese. Kind of cool. On Wednesday, fresh beats pumping in your ear, the newest in EDM, trap music, and more.
Help them trapped
over on Geek Aggro, held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild. And on Thursday, because the live call-in show should always have a place, and it does at the Land of Esh, you want to make sure that you check out The Issues program, hosted by The Issues Guy. Call in live, share issues, because you've got issues, he's got issues, y'all can have issues together. For the rest of the Nerd Week, keeping your needs satiated. We're all over the internet. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we are of the tubes, people.
I was under your bed
Find
last
us
week.
And interact. Pay no attention to that panda under your bed. It's fine.
She just wants your Cheez-Its.
And then finally, because a bunch of people have been asking, and it's happened.
Finally, it has happened to us.
You can now find the Eshcast on Stitcher Radio. Look for the rest of the team coming to Stitcher soon. But you can get our podcast wherever, whenever.
We made it.
We're all over the place. So make sure you engage with us. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Have a great holiday, guys.
Happy holidays!